It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
No breaks. No breaks. No fear. No fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
Coming up on this week's episode, reaction from Perry Barr as the Leicester Lions get an away win on the board.
Today it was good to see the whole team kind of click and put a team performance in and get a result that we know we can.
More from Ryan Douglas and Richard Lawson on the way. Also, reaction from the management at the Birmingham Brummies, who are still looking for their first win of the season. We'll hear from Sam Omalenko.
Basically, again, you know, the team that were here as visitors seemed to dial in out of the starts a lot better than us, and they just got away from us again.
And owner Nigel Tully.
We've gone a little bit backwards this last few meetings, and we've got to turn that round again. We've got to start coming up with the goods.
Our main guest this week is the Sheffield Tigers captain Kyle Howarth, who's looking forward to Sheffield getting onto home shale for the first time this season.
Well, there's a good atmosphere in the team. We had some away wins, and I think to get that away win, Leicester has spurred us on and give us a bit of a boost.
And before the end of the podcast, we'll have a chat with Jamin Lidsey, who talks about all manner of things and almost gets the name of this podcast correct.
You know, it's just, action-packed, no breaks. You know, it sounds silly, no breaks. You know, we're going, 70 mile an hour down the straight, and, it's quite crazy when you think about it, but it's just the adrenaline.
More from Jamin Lidsey later on, chatting with Mike Boswell. All that and much more to come on this week's No Breaks, No Fear.
No Breaks, No Fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
Welcome along. Once again, the weather has got involved and had its say over a few fixtures this week, but we have had quite a bit more action over the last 7 days, and we'll bring you a snapshot of that in this week's No Breaks, No Fear. And we will start at Perry Barr, where the Leicester Lions race to an emphatic 43-29 win at Birmingham to put their early season frustrations behind them. The Lions reeled off a hat-trick of 5-1s from heats 4-6 at Perry Barr as they dominated the Road Motor Oil Premiership clash to collect their first away win of the campaign. They went 14 points up with a 5-1 in Heat 12, at which point a halt was called due to worsening weather conditions, heavy rain moving in. Ryan Douglas led the way for the visitors with 10 plus 1 from 4 rides. Richard Lawson got 8 and only dropped 1 point to an opponent. Zach Cook won 2 races for the Brummies to finish on 8 points. Well, some reaction from that clash then. And first of all, the victorious Leicester Lions. Top scorer Ryan Douglas with Ryan Guest.
Well, Ryan Douglas, obviously coming into tonight on the back of 3 straight defeats, Stuart Dixon had got the Leicester boys fired up and delivered the goods on track out there.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, even though we've lost, I feel like we haven't been too far away, especially at home. And I've thought we've had a good team, even though we've been losing. And today it was good to see the whole team kind of click and put a team performance in and get a result that we know we can.
Like you say, even before the rain came, there was that run of 3 5-1s as well. And that was a point where, like you say, confidence really seemed to kick in for the boys on from there.
Yeah, it's good. You know, I'm happy for everyone, happy for Stuart. You know, it's never turning off after the next meeting after a loss. So, we're all kind of walking away a bit happier today. I'm having a good run at the moment and starting the season good and still building confidence every meeting.
Yeah, and like you say for yourself, you did switch position. Stuart did that before last Thursday's meeting where he felt you could do with a change of position. But like you say, to have a good run of meetings like you have, how important is that at this stage of the season?
Yeah, it's awesome, you know. It's like, you know, you see a lot of riders sometimes, if you start a bit slow, you can get stuck in a bit of a rut and you kind of play and catch up a bit all season. So it's nice to start on the front foot and, you know, it's a lot easier to maintain and progress if, you know, your confidence is high. It's definitely a lot in the head this game. If your head not right, then yeah, you can't get the points. So yeah, I'm happy with myself, and in all leagues it's going well, so yeah, I'm just looking forward to keep getting on my bike now.
Yeah, from the team's point of view as well, we mentioned those losses, and that's what a lot of people on the outside see, people on the inside see it as well, but particularly the riders in the camp, there's a lot of belief in what this team can do this year.
Yeah, I think so. You know, like I said, we have lost meetings, but we haven't put our head down, I don't think. We've all know it's coming, and we just got to make it happen. So you know, we've shown tonight that we're not going to be an easy beat this year, and yeah, obviously it's hard for Birmingham. You know, they want to get some points as well, but yeah, I think it means a lot for our team.
And looking ahead to Thursday, obviously Bellevue is going to be another challenge, but after those back-to-back defeats at home, back to winning ways is the quest on Thursday night.
Yeah, it's a big meet, and we need to win this one. Yeah, I think we'll a little bit, you know, Sheffield obviously is a very strong side as well, and you know, they pushed us all the way and obviously got that 5-1 which cost us in the end, but yeah, if we can just get that, you know, one more percent from every rider, then I think we'll easily have enough to get the win.
Another rider who had a decent trip to Perry Bar was Richard Lawson. He too is with Ryan Guest.
Well, Richard, just like everyone else, just praying for a bit of dry weather at some point, aren't we?
I know. It's about a bizarre start to the season. I think I've had 5 rain-offs so far. And then this one's half off, I guess. So, yeah, bit of a nightmare, but it's nobody's fault, I guess. It just is what it is. The cards have dealt with.
Nevertheless, after Leicester had lost those last 3 meetings, Stuart Dixon got everyone fired up ahead of tonight, and the boys went out there and got the job done.
Yeah, it was important to bounce back, and yeah, we were all up for it. I mean, we have been. We've been going well, just hasn't kind of been going our way. And we haven't been getting, apart from the Bellevue meeting, we haven't been getting, like, well beaten. I feel like we've been in the mix. So a disappointing start, but hopefully this is where it turns around.
Like you say, that run where you got those 3-5-1s as well, totally dominant at the starts and in the first turns, weren't you, as a team?
Yeah, it was so good to see, you know, white and yellow helmets just popping out like that. And around this track especially, it's pretty slick these days, so it's hard to pass. And yeah, that was where half the race was made, really.
Nevertheless, for yourself, it's a track you always seem to score well on, whatever level, and it proved to be the case again here tonight.
Yeah, I really enjoy it here. An hour's drive, track's always nice, and seem to gel well with it. It's a nice little circuit, not too dissimilar to Poole's shape. It rides completely different, but kind of same shape, so yeah, good.
Like you say, the weather did ruin it a bit, but nevertheless, the boys can take something from tonight, and it's already early on an important home meeting on Thursday against Bellevue.
Yeah, definitely. We want to get back to winning ways at home. That's very important. But yeah, we're chuffed a bit with how it's gone tonight, and you know, I think we can all take a bit of confidence from it and keep it going.
And I know we spoke about those 3 losses on the trot coming into tonight as well, but Stuart Dixon was also quick to point out one of those was against Sheffield, the reigning champions, one against Ipswich, last year's runners-up as well. So was that something always to bear in mind and not get too disheartened by?
Yes, I know. I mean, it's always... I find it hard to take getting beat at home. You know, no matter who they are, yeah, I feel like we should be winning at home, and the team we've got, I've got full faith in everyone, and I think we should be winning. So yeah, you do look at it, yeah, we have been beaten by good teams, but we want to win.
Yeah, obviously you do, and when you look at this boys, particularly the top 5 you've got, it really is power packed as well. And for yourself, like you say, you, at some point you were at number 5 last year, you've been at number 2, at number 4 at Birmingham. So just what do you think this team is capable of this year?
Yeah, a lot of good things. I feel like our top 5 is so balanced, and you know, I think that's a good key to a team. When we're all clicking, Max has shown signs of what he's capable of, and he's had a couple of poor races, but he's working really hard. And I think once we get back to, you know, Max last summer was unbeatable, and once we get back to that, we're going to be a force to reckon with.
Yeah, and just finally a quick look ahead to that one on Thursday night. You've talked about it from a Leicester point of view, but obviously Bellevue, you faced them last Monday in wet conditions once again. But what challenge do you think it's going to be on Thursday night?
Tough one. They've got Brady and Dan go really well around there. And I seem to remember Ben Cook, he can go well around ours. So, yeah, it's going to be tough. And, you know, this league is tough now. It's very competitive, which is good to see. But, you know, we'll go there with our tails up and hopefully come away with them still wagging.
We'll keep an eye on those wagging tails of the Leicester Lions. For the Birmingham Brummies, they're still looking for their first win of the season. It's been a tricky start to the season. They've not really been beaten overly heavily so far, but that was their biggest defeat of the season at this point. And of course, the meeting was called at Heat 12, so 14 points down, 43-29 they were beaten. Let's hear from manager Sam Ermolenko.
Well, Sam Ermolenko, you were looking for a response to that Oxford defeat tonight. Where did it go wrong?
I think you could ask each and every one of the riders. All of them just weren't getting out of the start tonight. And, you know, little problems were creeping up with mechanical side of things again. But basically, again, you know, the team that were here as visitors seemed to dial in out of the starts a lot better than us, and they just got away from us again.
As obviously someone who's been there and done it, you understand that not everything always goes to plan as a rider, as an individual, or as a team. But like you say, when it's similar mistakes, meeting after meeting, how frustrating is it becoming?
Well, you know, it's like as a rider, you tend to think that sometimes you want your home track to kind of help you a little bit. And it seems like the way the track's been treating the riders is they're not finding the setup because the track's been getting a little bit harder to get out of the starts. And, you know, when you have the weather that's been changing so much, you know, it's irregular right now, or maybe it is regular for this time of year, who knows. But, you know, the track staff couldn't really do much with the track to give our guys that little bit of advantage they were hoping for today compared to last week. No excuses, but, you know, the first thing is both sides came here, and obviously the Leicester Lions actually attacked the starts a lot better than we did.
Yeah, quick word on Piotr Pawlicki, obviously his debut for the club. Obviously hard to judge properly in those conditions, but from what you did see, what did you make of him?
No, positive, very positive. He understood straight away whenever he went out there. And luckily that, you know, we had a chance to put the bikes on the track for the parade, and he did a practice start and realized his bike was way too strong. And that's kind of, he's a victim of everybody that comes over from the continent, usually in the Britain tracks. So he made some changes straight away, but he realized he needed to go a little bit more. So he's chasing his own setup, but what was real impressive was how he was able to fight on the track. And he had some good corners. I mean, he was turning the bike really tight. He likes the track, and that's a positive.
Obviously, the return at Leicester to come next week, and they're on a bit of a losing streak at home, so we'll see how that one goes. But the big meeting, I guess, is Bellevue here in a fortnight's time when the Eurosport cameras are here, and a big improvement is needed on that occasion.
There's no doubt about it. You know, we had a nice talk, me and the riders did, and we're just missing something, and what that is, not everybody can really put their finger on it, and I'm trying to individually pull them apart and see if I can help them best as I can. And we've kind of got a new angle starting tomorrow. We're building on it today, but we haven't had time to really push what we want to do next. And believe me, each and every one of these guys are disappointed.
Okay, the work continues then for Sam Ermolenko and his men. Of course, Pawlicki is back. He had his debut, but they were missing Victor Lampaert. So still Birmingham yet to ride as their full 1-7 in any meeting yet. Let's hear from the owner then, Nigel Tolley. He's also been speaking to BBC Radio WM and Mike Taylor, who was asking about track conditions.
Well, I'd say it was us that wasn't sharp out of the gates rather than they were sharp out of the gates. We weren't getting the gates. We didn't on the last meeting. We did exactly the same last meeting. We're not getting the gates. Plus, the track conditions tonight, we really packed down the track yesterday because we'd seen the weather forecast. We were watching the weather forecast very closely. We thought we were going to get more rain than we did. And that would have... The packed track would have suited everybody if it had rained, but it didn't. So it was packed down very hard. So it became a little bit of a follow the leader. we couldn't get the gate, so because we were following a leader, we weren't getting the points. And, you know, it's just horrible to watch, 3-5-1s against us on the trot. But it wasn't our night tonight. And things aren't going to change.
Yeah.
The riders all feel that. The riders are getting a little bit nervous because we haven't got that win yet.
Yeah.
I think we've just got to get that win, and I think things will change. I think things will change around then.
Yes, because I think that's the first meeting you've had out of the five where you haven't really been competitive, so to speak. All the others have been very, very close.
Yeah. You've got to remember, though, that Leicester team is a very strong team.
They've got good riders.
I think it's a very strong team. I have right the way from the side. Other people disagree, and they're saying we're going to get that win tonight. But I knew it was going to be tough, especially with the conditions.
Yeah, it must be especially difficult for your track staff, because everybody saw the forecast, and there's lots of parts of the area where it has rained today.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you're guessing, aren't you?
The problem was, we were, as we normally do, we were looking at Met Office radar, and I was watching it all the way through yesterday, all the way through last night, and all the time this morning. Mm. And it was changing every 10 minutes. We were supposed to have had a lot more rain than we did here. I got here at lunchtime, and back home we'd had quite a lot of rain and hail. Mm. No rain here at all.
No.
And Terry on the track was thinking, well, do I water, do I not water? We knew the track was rock hard and it really needed some water, but it was too risky with the way the weather was. Yeah. And then it finally came at what time? 8:30, 8:45. It's one of those things. It's very, very disappointing. We really wanted that win tonight,
sure,
but everything wasn't in our favour. Paul Lickie's first meeting as well. I was quite impressed with him, to be quite honest. And we're going to see big things from him in the next few weeks. But time is ticking on, and we've got to start pulling things back. But I'm sure it will come.
Yeah, and that's the positive from tonight, is you've got Peter Bellucci here and racing and in front of the crowd and looking to be competitive very quickly.
Yeah, I felt sorry for the crowd tonight because it was a little bit follow the leader.
Yeah.
And anybody watching Speedway for the first time would have been a little disappointed. We've got to put on exciting racing, and we didn't do that tonight.
No. I would say, Nigel, just one observation of mine, coming here for the first time here this season, undoubtedly there were a lot more people than I ever saw at a meeting here last year. You need people to keep responding to your call, though, don't you?
Well, we do. Yeah. You know, it's quite simple. If we don't do it this year, that's it, Birmingham's gone.
Yeah.
Because we can't afford to keep putting the money in. I keep saying it, we can't afford to put the money in that's been put into it last season and the year before. But we couldn't have made it pay. I keep saying this. We couldn't have made it pay in Championship, so we'd got to try Premiership. So we are a fledgling team. But I was expecting things to start to settle down by now. And I think instead of everybody settling down, we've gone a little bit backwards this last few meetings. And we've got to turn that round again. We've got to start coming up with a good showing, the crowd, competitive, overtaking, etc., etc. But because of the way the weather was and the way we prepared the track, unfortunately, it really was slick and much too hard.
So there's Nigel Tolley, owner of Birmingham Brummies, there speaking to Mike Taylor. It's early days, of course, but some teams now have ridden five meetings. And, well, Birmingham have ridden five meetings. They've ridden the most, actually. And they have 1 point for their efforts. So they are second bottom. Bottom of the table at the moment are the Kings Lynn Stars, but they've only ridden two meetings. But no points to show for it just yet. Sheffield, third bottom. And then it's Leicester, mid-table, four meetings ridden and 4 points on the board. Three meetings ridden and four on the board for the Bellevue Aces. And then the top two, Ipswich Witches, are second. They've ridden three meetings and 6 points. And the Oxford Spires are top. They've ridden four meetings. They have 7 points. And Ipswich and Oxford will meet each other on Thursday this week. So that's going to be an exciting one. And, actually, Oxford have made a change as well. Outgoing is Nikolai Clint. And coming into the Oxford team is Eric Riss. And that means Eric will face his former side on Thursday, which is going to be a thriller. And Oxford, unfortunately, also they've lost Louis Kerr through injury as well, and he'll be replaced by Scott Nichols, of course, who needs no introduction to Foxhall. So it's a handy side, you've got to say, that Oxford are going to have in terms of experience of Foxhall when they go there on Thursday. And incidentally, you can watch that on BSN this Thursday evening as well. Ipswich versus Oxford. And yeah, that one is finally poised. Let's move on then to other matters in the Roe Motor Oil Premiership. And looking back at some fixtures from last week, there was a full programme really on Thursday. Bellevue defeated the Kings Lynn Stars. It was a night for the away sides actually last Thursday, with them all winning. It was 48-42, the victory for the Bellevue Aces. The Aces top two of Brady Kurtz, who got 14. Dan Bewley with 11+1, again in excellent form. And they were well backed up by Ben Cook, who got 8+2. Found themselves 4 points down, though. Jamin Lidsey retired when leading Heat 12, only to turn the meeting around in dramatic style. Back-to-back 5-1s in Heats 13 and 14, and it was an entirely different story. It meant the Stars needed a 5-1 from the decider to level the scores, but those hopes all but ended when Tobias Muzelak crashed out. Vadim Tarasenko and Benjamin Basso both scored 9 for the hosts. Incidentally, Bellevue fans, we've got Jamin Lidsey coming up a little later. He is the latest rider to be interrogated by our intrepid reporter Mike Boswell. So find out about the life of Jamin Lidsey in intimate detail, including his preferences for where he likes to sit on an aeroplane. All this information may be useful to you one day, you never know. League champions Sheffield snatched a 46-44 victory at Leicester. Of course, we've heard about them. Perry Barr getting the away win, but it was Sheffield getting the away win last Thursday. A last heat 5-1 from the Holder brothers, Chris and Jack, combining Turbo Twins 2.0. And that lead changed hands at the Pidcock Motorcycles Arena on several occasions through the course of the fixture. A very close meeting indeed. Max Frick and Ryan Douglas raced to maximum points in Heat 13. The hosts were favourites to win at that point, but of course Sheffield turned it round right at the end. Here is Jack Holder.
Yeah, mate, it was good. You know, it's been a minute. You know, it feels like the season hasn't really started for us. You know, we've had four, I think, away meetings. But yeah, so spaced out. So not really in the groove yet. But you know, tonight I felt much more like myself, and a good back to my true form, as I know.
Yeah, it was a tight contest throughout as well. But how good did it feel to team up for that Heat 15 5-1, particularly with Chris as well?
Yeah, mate, it's always good. You know, we know each other, you know, so well riding. You know, I've looked up to him for so many years, and I pretty much copied his style. And yeah, he had a great night. You know, he was leading and had a bit of engine failures in the first one, which was a bit of a bummer, but you know, he got it all sorted. And you know, it's always good riding with your brother in the team, and you know, to seal the deal with him, it was good.
Yeah, and like you say, to say the Tigers still haven't ridden a home fixture yet, how good is it that they're pulling a few results off like this on the road already?
Yeah, mate, it's been good. As I said, we've been away for a few meetings now, and, you know, we've been so close. But, it's good to get an away win and, you know, hopefully build on this now. And, we look forward to finally riding out at a home track for once.
Jack, congratulations to you and the Tigers. Well done.
No worries. Thank you.
Well, let's hear from the gaffer as well. He must be happy with that. Here's Simon Stead.
Well, Steady, that was a tight contest all the way through, but the boys got the job done in that Heat 15.
Yeah, look, it was a tight contest all the way through, and you know, I felt at one stage we'd been a bit unlucky with a couple of engine failures and what have you, and you know, we got a bit of luck in one when I think it was Sam had a bit of trouble on his run to the line, so it probably evened itself out over the course of the meeting, just about. But the fact that we got the job done is the most important thing. We got the points on the board, and it was a great team effort once again, and just shows what we can do.
Like you say, everyone chipped in. I know Dan's disappointed with his night again, but even his point in Heat 4 proved pivotal in the end.
Yeah, that's right. And look, he was unfortunate in Heat 8. He just sort of got a bit caught out. They'd done a track grade on after Heat 7 and produced a little bit more material on the outside that caught him out, and it was a bit unlucky there because he was in a point scoring position once again. But when he's not ridden for that long in the course of the meeting, and Jason has showed his worth, I just felt it was worth the change in Heat 14 with how Jason was riding. So it was a bit unlucky tonight, but like you said, every point has counted, so we needed them all.
Yeah, and when you consider that, obviously, the fact we're still waiting for Sheffield's first home fixture, to say you've got four league points on the board as it is already, how pleasing is that as a team manager?
Yeah, really pleasing. And I think, but for a couple of hiccups along the road, we could have added to that tally. But yeah, you're right, 4 points on the board, and we can be pleased with how we've been riding. I know they're all desperate for a home fixture just to sort of settle in a little bit more. But look, we can't use the excuse of blowing cobwebs off anymore. These guys are riding a little bit in Poland now, and that starts this weekend properly. So our top boys are going to be getting more and more fixtures, and I think we're going to get better and better and better. Super pleased for Chris. You know, he's been absolutely unbelievable tonight and showed what he's really capable of.
Yeah, and it seems like we've been building up to that first home fixture for forever now. But King's Lynn next Thursday at Alderton. How do you assess that one?
Well, I don't know, because we've not been there. So it will be a tough contest. They've got a very good team, in my opinion. And you know, Toby obviously is no stranger. He'll have a point to prove when he comes back, of course. But I think if we can continue where we've left off tonight and the start of the season that we've had, if we can carry that form into Thursday, then it should be a great contest.
Well, we mentioned earlier about Ipswich and Oxford meeting this Thursday at Foxhall. Of course, last week it was at the Oxford Stadium. And it was Ipswich who took the honours in a battle of the unbeaten clubs in one of the biggest crowds since the sport returned to Cowley in 2022. The Witches secured victory thanks to a 5-1 in Heat 15 from Jason Doyle and Emil Saifutinov. Who else? The visitors held a narrow lead for much of the meeting, whilst the Spires lost reserve Louis Kerr with an ankle injury after a crash in Heat number 11. Doyle and Saifutinov led the scoring for the Witches. Doyle with 13+1, Saifutinov 11+2 bonus, and Rowan Tungate scoring 11+1 for the hosts. And they do battle once again. And of course, the bonus point is very much on the line, actually. And when you look at the lineup that Oxford have got, you can't rule them out, with Eric Riss and Scott Nichols lining up. And of course, they've got Bomber and Yanofsky as well. So it's going to be a fascinating clash. And that will be this Thursday when they meet again, with just 6 points in it for the aggregate bonus. So that could be one to watch on Thursday evening. So, looking at the fixture picture for the week ahead in the Row Motor Oil Premiership, it is Ipswich versus Oxford, Leicester versus Bellevue, and Sheffield versus King's Lynn coming up this Thursday. Of course, fingers crossed, weather permitting, terms and conditions apply, you know the rest. And then Row Motor Oil Premiership for the following Monday, April the 22nd, it's another thriller, actually. Bellevue versus Ipswich and King's Lynn versus Sheffield on Monday night. And Bellevue versus Ipswich will be on BSN on Monday night as well. And then don't forget, Eurosport get underway next week. So that'll be the April 29th, actually, is when they do their first meeting on a Monday. So that'll be the first domestic meeting on Eurosport and Discovery Plus. Birmingham versus Bellevue will be that fixture, April 29th. So week on Monday for that. But plenty more to come on No Breaks, No Fear. In the next part, our main guest is with us. It is the only man to remain standing in the Sheffield side that won the title last year. He made it all the way through the season. Kyle Howarth, the Sheffield captain, joins us next on No Breaks, No Fear.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
No Breaks, No Fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
Welcome back. Coming up later on, Jamin Lidsey takes on the tough questions of our intrepid reporter, Mike Boswell. So listen out for that in the next part. But right now, we're joined by Kyle Howarth, captain of the Sheffield Tigers And, of course, the only Sheffield rider to begin and end the season with the Tigers last year. He's also riding for the Scunthorpe Scorpions as well. And it's your testimonial year, Kyle, and you actually had the dubious honour of, I think, being officially the first meeting to be rained off in 2024, if I'm right in saying that, and really very much sort of set the precedence. You were a trailblazer. So, it's not been an ideal start from that point of view. Of course, we should be talking about what happened in that meeting, but you're looking to reorganise that now.
Yeah, been a wet winter, as we know, from a lot of people saying, well, from October straight after the final, it's just not stopped raining, has it? And it's played its part. The ground has just been so wet. And I suppose when the speed race season was supposed to start 5-6 weeks ago, it's just not stopped raining, has it? And so, unfortunately, my testimonial and a few, like the Ben Fund, got called off. And then obviously when the league meetings started to play, coming in, it decided to play its part and call them off too. So, yeah, I think I think I've had about five rain offs this year plus my testimonial.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a heavy start to the season on that front. We'll stay on your testimonial while we're on the subject, because you've announced plans for a new date for later on this season. It's not too far away, actually, really. It's 12th of June, so just a couple of months to go. I guess you've done some of the planning already, but of course some of it's gone out of the window, so you're having to rejig it. And it's happening on a Wednesday as well, which is not a normal night for Sheffield, but that's to try and get rider availability and stuff.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a tricky one. Obviously, it's always a lot easier to do it at the start of the season with everything going on, but I'm going to set my dog. Get down. My dog's playing up. Sorry. At the start of the season, it's a lot easier to get this going, and it's a lot quieter. People are looking for meetings to do a bit of testing. So we obviously have to get rained off. We had to look at the alternatives and get the season going. But what probably didn't help is with all these other rain offs, what was going on. Sheffield hasn't had any luck itself with the rain-offs. So we just left it a few weeks to see how it was panning out, and then seeing what fixtures was available. And I sat down with Julie Redding and Damien and we come up with a plan. And I think the Wednesday is the best solution, because if I can get some riders on a Wednesday, there's not a lot of clubs riding on a Wednesday. As you know, Premiership, they race Monday and Thursday, so it gives us more of a venture to get some Premier League lads in, and obviously to get some Championship lads in. So at the moment, there's no fixtures on that Wednesday, and rejiggling the lineup, because obviously there's people who could do it, who agree to do it, and then there's obviously people who can't. So just trying to come up with a lineup now as we speak, and just speaking to a few lads. We're 90% there, so we're just getting it all in order. It's with Julie, working alongside Julie Redding, who's been unbelievable help. Everything is all set up, still ready to go with sponsors and stuff like that from the previous meeting. So we're just all about sorting the line, like the riders, the lineup, and what teams and whatnot. And obviously, the main thing is just the weather on the week. But I think with being June, obviously we're in the summer then. Hopefully the weather's a lot better, and hopefully it's a better forecast and the track's a lot drier, and we can get a good meeting on for the fans.
And the idea of it was sort of a Sheffield side versus a World Select, wasn't it? So is that the same idea?
Yeah, that's still the same. Sheffield Tigers versus a World Select. So that's what we're going for, and we'll go from that. And I've got, like I said, I've got a few riders still who want to do it, and then obviously I'm going to have to jig it around, because there's also now a few riders who are riding in the continent, like I know Denmark's on a Wednesday and stuff like that. So, yeah, we'll work it, and we'll go from there, but we'll just play it by ear. It's like you said, it's probably, about 5 weeks away, but 5 weeks at the minute, it will go fast, because myself, I'm busy with fixtures. I'm building up with a busy fixture list coming up. So before you know it, we'll be into May, and then halfway into May, you know, you're 2.5-3 weeks away, and all of a sudden you're coming into the testimonial date, aren't you?
Yeah, it will be here soon enough. You've got quite a few fixtures though in the calendar to get through, all being well, for for Sheffield and for Scunny, so a lot of bike time between now and then. And Sheffield, it's been a bit of a heavy start, hasn't it, really? Still haven't had a home meeting at the time of recording this. Hopefully that will change in the next 48 hours. Just your assessment, really, of how things began, because a lot of was made maybe about the defeat away at Oxford, not an easy place to go, not a place a number of the riders have been before. For Sheffield, and then you had Birmingham, which went down to that last heat decider. Bellevue away, always a tricky one to go to at lunchtime, especially the National Speedway Stadium, notorious the track there for being a bit different during the day. But then that win at Leicester, and you must have felt now that things starting to click into place.
Yeah, I think it was always a tough start because we didn't have a press day. Obviously, going back with my testimonial, it was wet, and obviously the press day was a week after it had following rain, and we've not been able to get on the home track to do a little bit of testing, get the lads together. So it was kind of straight in at the deep end against Oxford, who have put a very good team together, and went there, and I think we lost by four, I'm right. So I think we lost by four. I don't think it was a bad outing. We was all still a bit rusty. I think a few of the lads had not even bedded the bikes in. So literally they did parade at Oxford and bedded the chains in and whatnot. So Oxford was a bit of a funny one because it was a tough meeting to go into. You don't want to drop Premier League points. But I think we look back now, was kind of to come away with 4-point deficit. I don't think we're complaining. So to go to Birmingham, get a win, and Bellevue's a tough place, as you know. It's a bank holiday, 12 o'clock. The track's always different. To be honest, I think Steady said in an interview, we go everywhere to win. We do go everywhere to win, but to keep it at 8 points, we was kind of happy with that because I think any more than eight is going to be very tough. And then to go to Leicester, we got that win and it was a big win for us. It was nice because they're a tough team who have a good 1-7 who on Leicester on its day is a good track. It's a hard track. So to go there and to have where Wolfie just had one of his off nights and we still won. So it shows when this team does get firing what it can do. And look, we still haven't had a home meeting to get going yet. And there's some meetings, I think, is it like Yorkshire and that, they've had three meetings at home. Bellevue have had two meetings, or, you know, and Birmingham have had a couple meetings at home now, where we've had a really probably tough run of fixtures where this week we're at home at Sheffield and then the following week we've got Kingsland away and Ipswich away. So probably six away meetings and one home meeting. So, yeah, I think we should hold our heads high and be happy with what we've done with so far. We obviously want more, but we can't complain.
As you said, it's a good point that yes, you have lost these, you know, a couple of meetings, but you've not lost them by many, and the aggregate bonus point is going to be, you know, key once again this season, and it will separate those sides out. So they're there for the taking, and obviously not had much home experience so far, but as far as the schedule goes, May, you're at home every week pretty much, apart from. Was it one away match? So you've got a lot of home advantage in May.
Yeah, for sure. I think, like, there's no reason why we can't beat Oxford at home by four and then obviously Bellevue by the eight and get the aggregate and whatnot. And that's a KO Cup, if I'm right. And obviously the Birmingham, we won there, but to extend that. And then obviously the Leicester to extend that. So, yeah, we've got some aggregate points. If we can win at home, I believe we can. We're a strong and solid enough team to do that. We can win some bonus points, and what that'll be help us in a table. So yeah, I think it's also good sometimes. Like, we're getting these away meetings out, and like you just said, then we're going to have a string of home meetings coming up in May. So if we can get some really big home meetings coming in, like big wins, we can build the confidence in the team and get the atmosphere going and build that and carry it on throughout the season.
Looking at your next fixture then, and so your next two fixtures, as you mentioned, it's home and away against Kings Lynn. And of course, at number one, they got Tobias Musialak. So a rider who certainly knows his way around Ollerton, in the visiting side for that first fixture at your home track.
Yeah, I think they're a solid unit. And I was surprised, if I'm honest, they lost at home to Bellevue. And you look at the team, how they've built it, they are a solid team, aren't they? 1-7. I think they've got some great experience in the team. And Bellevue just caught them off guard at the first meeting at home, and they got a victory. So, yeah, it's going to be tough Thursday. We know that. It's going to be a challenge. I think your first meeting always is at home. You always want to get your first meeting out of the way, and obviously you all want to win. So, yeah, we're looking forward to it. There's some good performance. There's a good atmosphere in the team. We had some away wins, and I think to get that away win at Leicester has spurred us on and give us a bit of a boost. So we're all looking forward to going into Thursday for sure.
And Kingsland themselves overall, as a team, they look a stronger unit all round. Of course, they've got that sort of nucleus of the Peterborough team, which finished the season really strongly last season. They've got Rob Lyon as the team manager there as well. So they're a different proposition to the Kingsland you would have raced against the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously Rob's been around now. He knows what he's doing. He's won titles before. So again, they're coming to win, aren't they? Everyone does, and they're a fresh team. Obviously, they're coming off an away win, home loss. Probably a little bit more pressure on them because you don't want to chuck too many points away early on because you know, Ian, you don't want to be chasing your tail too late on in the season, do you? It only gets harder when there's a bit more pressure on towards the end of the season when it becomes must wins. So yeah, I think it's going into the meeting on Sheffield. They're going to be desperate to get some points on the board, and we want to get the first home win under our belt and start the season off at home and start cracking on.
And Sheffield as a whole, that you've got a different look to how you started last season. You were, as we mentioned earlier, the only constant through that championship-winning team. At some point, everybody fell one way or another. But very much the side looking very similar to how last season ended. So there is an element of continuity from the back end of last season as well.
Yeah, for sure. There's riders who've come in and have stayed, and as you've been in the sport, it can be a tough one when riders are struggling or injuries, and sometimes riders have to go when it's not always their fault and what. Yeah, so the team changed and that's what it is, and there's riders who've stayed with us through last year, and there's a really good atmosphere because obviously you got your Jack and Chris who know each other well, who obviously know Wolfie and Pico, so, and then obviously myself, Jason and Dan. So there's a good bunch of lads and we're all having a laugh and it's a good atmosphere. I think steady as a manager, I think it's good. I've always said it's great to have a manager who's been there and done it and rode at that stage. He understands sometimes when riders are going for a tough patch, going for good patches and how to keep them going and advice. And he's rode at a level when he knows. And he knows if you're not putting the work in. So, yeah, it's a good laugh. It's a good team. I think, like I said, we've not really got going. Obviously, I think once you have a home meeting, a couple of meetings, that's when you feel like this season starts to get going. Obviously, we've just had away meetings at the minute. So, like I said, it would just be nice to get to Sheffield and get cracking with the lads.
It's set to be a busy few days for you, isn't it? I mean, you're at home at the moment, but you'll not be at home very much over the next few days because you got your meeting at Sheffield. Then you're up to Redcar in the BSN series again for the second leg of that, where you've got a healthy lead, and then back to your old stomping ground from last season, down to Plymouth on a Saturday, cruising down the M5 with not a care in the world, I'm sure. So it's a busy few days.
Busy few days. Obviously, take one at a time because obviously sometimes you can look past it too much and probably stress yourself out with all the traveling. So it's going to work, but Sheffield is going to be a tough one. 14 points, but you know they're good at home. They've all, like, you, Charles and Danny and people. So I was shocked to see they got beat, to be honest, off Workington, and nothing against Workington. It's just obviously Redcar have normally been very strong, a dominant team at home over the years. But no, I think we go there with a 14 points, but it starts at 0-0 and we go again and we're going there to win because obviously we don't want to be chasing our time. We don't want any last-eight deciders or too close to encounters. So if we can go there and get an early lead and apply a bit more pressure on them. That's the plan. And then obviously the trip then down to Plymouth on the Saturday, it's a long old jaunt. I'll probably come back with a mechanic. I live down south near Swindon, so maybe cruise down and stop this way and then get up in the morning and then cruise further on to Plymouth, obviously, on a Saturday. The Saturday traffic, probably have to set off a little bit early because you just never know what you're going to get, do you, heading that way?
Yeah, absolutely. And it is due, at least at this moment in time, to be Plymouth's first home meeting of the season as well. They've made some changes to the track since you were last there. Well, since anybody was last there, that third and fourth bend's sort of been extended out quite a bit, hasn't it? So that might make for, it's going to be a level playing field for everybody because everybody's going to be riding it for the first time.
Yeah, it's going to be different. Obviously, they've been having a bit of troubles with the weather. It's played its part at that place and it's been so unconsistent the weather and I don't think obviously the promotion there have been able to get on track. And I've heard they're actually having a practice today, if I'm right, to make sure. So hopefully we'll hear something at the end of the today if it's on or off. But we need to we it back. It needs to be on and we need to get these meetings done because we don't really want to be getting into the season and backlogging meetings. That's what happened with myself last year with so many rain-offs. And it just causes a little bit of palaver when you're trying to organise stuff in the summer and all of a sudden there's meetings being put on and you don't know if they're going to run or not. So that would be great. I think it would be great to get it on. And the new track at Plymouth, obviously they've changed it. They've made it a little bit bigger. So that'll be exciting to see. I'm not sure how it's going to go. So, yeah, I think it'll be an eye-opener and we'll see what happens Saturday if it's on.
And for you generally at Scunthorpe, you've it's back to the club where it in many ways began for you in the early days. Rob Godfrey has admitted that he shouldn't have been so tight in the years gone by and paid you the mileage that you asked for and should never have let you go. But you're finally back there. You're riding at number one now and so far so good for Scunthorpe.
Yeah, I think obviously times change and never me and Rob have always got on. He did help me early on in my career and give me a chance. And just over the years, we've been in the championship now and being with Sheffield, I really enjoyed my time in the championship with Sheffield and stuff. And then I'm really enjoying it. It's a good team. It's a really good atmosphere. We're working with Rob and Simon as the captain. And it's a new setup for me. Obviously, it's a new track. And I know it's different. It's going to sound different, a bit different. Like when you're an away rider, you go there with just like, oh, with the away mind, you're only here, do what you do. And, you know, but as in a home meet, as a home rider, you want to get set up. So I've had a tough couple of meetings. It was just the first meeting, the track was a little bit tricky. And as people seen on the BSN and that third and fourth caught me out with how the track had been and with the weather's played that. And then obviously the other day I just made one little mistake at the start and it cost me. And as people know, Scunthorpe starts are very crucial being so slick. So once I get dialed in and find a setup what I'm really comfortable with, I know for a fact I'll score points there because I've scored a lot of points there in the past as being a way rider. And so I'm not worried at all. The season is just getting going for us. And I'm like I said, once I get that set up and get dialed in, we'll be away.
Yeah, that little off in that first fixture with where Charles and yourself were both heading for the fence, that was a bit of a scary moment there. And you were two wheels off the track in the air as well.
Yeah. I think going back to the way the track is, the water's lied on the curb coming in and it obviously stayed there and he's pumped it off. But the ground just being so soft, it's not been able to dry in time and then it just made really grippy patches and ruts. There was a really big one coming into three and four and it was on the racing line coming in and the angle I caught it on, it just kind of stopped me dead. And as you know, you're riding so fast, you can't just put the brakes on and say, well, I don't want to go there, I'll just turn left. I had to hold on didn't manage to ride it out, but yeah, come away unscathed, a few scratches, but yeah, we go again and yeah, we're here and ready to go.
Yeah, it was heart in your mouth stuff, but thankfully everybody got up and was all right in the end. Phew. But
yeah,
All the best for the upcoming matches anyway, and starting with that one at Sheffield, then against King's Lynn on Thursday, and then a busy week, and certainly a busy month ahead in May as well, particularly with that home advantage. So all the best for the coming weeks.
Yeah, just stoke the weather. I'm just looking out the window now and there's a dark sky and my washing's out, so I don't know what to do. this is a problem I've got. So, no way. Hopefully the weather plays ball and we can get going and we can crack on and get this season underway, because if not, there's going to be a bag full of meetings. What are going to be rescheduled, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, this is it. We need to keep it moving as much as possible. I think we'll get away with it at the moment, but fingers crossed for the weekend. And your washing, of course. Get it in.
Yeah.
Kyle Howarth, Sheffield captain, and of course, number one for the Scunthorpe Scorpions as well, on No Breaks, No Fear, the official British Speedway podcast. You can see Kyle in action, hopefully on Thursday, for the Sheffield Tigers, and then a couple of meetings for the Scunthorpe Scorpions away at Redcar, and then Plymouth over the next few days at the time of recording and releasing this. Coming up in the next part of No Breaks, No Fear, we'll cast an eye over what's happening in the BSN series in the Championship, and also we'll hear from Jamin Lidsey as well, amongst other things, in the next part of No Breaks, No Fear.
No Breaks, No Fear, the official British Speedway podcast.
A few bits from the Championship then, and particularly the BSN series, and it was a big win for newcomers Workington, who pulled off a stunning comeback to win 46-44 at Redcar in the BSN series. The Comets trailed by 12 points after four races at the Echo Arena, but gradually worked their way back into the meeting, narrowing the gap to 2 points before producing a series of heat wins. Home captain Charles Wright then crashed out in Heat 15, and the turnaround was completed by Craig Cook and Troy Batchelor with a 5-1 over Danny King in the final heat rerun. Let's hear from team manager for the night then for the Comets, and also promoter two at Workington, Andrew Bain.
Yeah, awesome tonight. Just 12 down and come back strong, and all the team rode brilliant tonight. Absolute proud of it.
And Redcar not having a heat advantage after heat four, like the first four heats, you know, you must have been thinking, we're on a bit of a hiding here, but then from then on, Redcar didn't have a heat advantage since.
No, from heat four, I did think we were on for a hiding, and the table turned, and we got a bit of luck and kept it rolling.
It's hard to know who to single out, because everybody had great performances. I think one of the turning points was the tactical, where you put Craig Cook and Troy Batchelor in together. That really sort of galvanised things, didn't it, then?
Yeah, heat nine changed everything around, and brilliant.
You must be pleased as well with the newcomers, shall we say. Tate Zischke had a fantastic performance, Antti Kulas, but also Selina getting some points, but also battling to get them as well, you know, with overtakes and really racing.
No, all the teams rode really well, absolutely pleased. We've got four young'uns in the team that's never rode the year before, and gelled together, and we've got there.
You must be pretty happy overall from where this club's come from, because as we were saying on commentary, you know, maybe a few years ago, Workington fans probably wouldn't have believed they'd see a team back at the tapes at any form of speedway, let alone at this level, and then to win a night like tonight against historically one of your rivals as well in Redcar must be quite sweet.
No, it's awesome. It's a good ending to the first meeting away.
You're going to get to renew acquaintances quite a lot, though, because you raced against Redcar a few times this month now.
Yeah, I think we meet them three times home and three times away this year, so it'll be like home to home.
Well done tonight, well done.
Yeah, cheers, thank you.
Yeah, Redcar facing Workington again, this time at the GT Tyres Arena at Workington on Saturday afternoon. Elsewhere, last Friday, Michael Palmtoft and Jake Allen both scored maximums as Cab Direct Knockout Cup holders Scunthorpe put one foot firmly into this year's quarterfinals. The Scorpions slammed Plymouth 61-29 at the Eddie Wright Raceway. Michael Palmtoft reeling off five wins for a 15-point full house. Glasgow captain Chris Harris made an incredible entry to Friday's BSN series clash with Edinburgh, only for the weather to have the final say. Harris had been delayed by traffic issues on the M6. He made it into the stadium with 2 minutes. The 2 minute warning was on. I think 60 seconds left. He emerges out the back of the van like a scene from the A team, gets on a borrowed bike, Steve Worrell's machine, heads round to the tapes, and then heads to a 5-1 with James Pearson. The meeting was, though, abandoned after Heat 6 because of heavy rain, and the Tigers 21-15 up. The result does not stand. It will be restated at at some point. Hopefully Bomber will be there for the start of the meeting for the rerun. Berwick skipper Rory Schlein and guest Richard Lawson pulled off a dramatic last eat 5-1 to secure victory over Edinburgh in the BSN series. The scores were level heading into the decider, and the Monarchs tracked Josh Pickering, who'd won his first five rides. But Rory Schlein took it from the tapes to the flag, whilst Lawson held off Pickering's challenge to clinch a 47-43 victory. Richard Lawson standing in for the injured Louis Kerr on that occasion. Looking at the week ahead then, at the championship level of Speedway, mainly BSN series action for the most part. Wednesday, April 17th, it's Oxford versus Plymouth in the Southern BSN Series group. That's at 7:30 at Oxford Stadium. Friday, we've got two fixtures, Glasgow versus Berwick in the Scottish BSN Series group, and Redcar versus Scunthorpe in the Northern group. Glasgow versus Berwick will be on BSN on Friday night. Saturday, Workington versus Redcar in the Northern BSN Series group at 3 p.m. And we've also got Knockout Cup action on Saturday. Plymouth due to stage their first home meeting of the season against the Scunthorpe Scorpions, as we heard with Kyle Howarth a little earlier. And then that's it for championship level action until the following Wednesday, 24th, when it's Poole versus Edinburgh. But more about that, I suspect, this time next week. Finally then, before we go, let's have another round of Mike Meets. Our intrepid reporter, Mike Boswell, interrogating some of British Speedway's finest stars. He was at the Premiership Media Day a few weeks back, and he was laying some bait out to lure over some of the top riders, and many of them did indeed come and take the bait. The latest to step up to the microphone was Bellevue Aces star Jamin Lidsey in Mike Meets.
Easy one to start off with. Name?
Jamin Lidsey.
Occupation?
Speedway rider.
First time on a Speedway bike?
I would have been maybe 8-9 years old, but then started racing when I was 12.
And how did that opportunity come about?
I raced a JR50 Suzuki when I was younger, when I was about 5, at Mildura Olympic Park Speedway, and it all just took off from there. I raced Peewees for many years, and mm-hmm. then bit of a break, and then started racing Speedway bikes when I was 12.
And, you know, who's kind of helped you on that journey?
Lee Adams. He helped me a lot when I was in juniors. Kind of as he retired, that's when I was starting off, and I was good friends with his son, Declan Adams, and he helped me a lot.
And sort of what was that advice about, as bikes or just mental everything?
It was just everything all together, and as I said, I was involved with his son a lot. I was around at the house all the time, and he wasn't kind of the big star like everyone looks at him like. He was just a normal person to me because I was there so often, and he kind of treated me like his own kid kind of thing, and helped me where he could, and he helped me pretty much get to say the 500 ranks, and once I got overseas he kind of pushed me on my way, but he's always there for advice if I need any questions or
still
anything.
On the speed dial.
Yeah, that's right.
Cool. And sort of what's the best thing about Speedway?
I think the adrenaline and, of course the winning as well, but it's an action packed sport. Each race is 60 seconds. A whole meeting here goes in 2 hours, and especially here at National Speedway Stadium, it's the racing's fantastic, and it's just action packed, no brakes. It sounds silly, no brakes. We're going 70 mile an hour down the straight, and it's quite crazy when you think about it, but it's just the adrenaline.
I was trying to explain it to an American, and they were based over in Seattle, and talking through going, there's no brakes. I'm like, they couldn't quite comprehend any time.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense. If I went and asked your friends about who is Jamin Lidsey, what would they say about you?
I don't know. Probably not many good things. No, I'm not too sure. You'd have to go and ask them.
Humble to the core, by the sounds of it. And sort of, what's your musical taste? I mean, what would be on your phone that you're going to listen to, your stream,
I don't really have a favorite genre. I'm kind of mixed match, really. Yeah. My Spotify is mixed with all sorts.
Very cool. And sort of, you know, obviously you've been back, you went back, you've been back to Australia in the last kind of few months. Anyone to watch out there, or anyone that you're kind of giving back and helping, who do you think across the border, people that we should be watching out for in the next kind of five to six years?
Well, you know, there's a few young ones coming through, but I feel like in Australia, the junior speedway, it's kind of had a bit of a lull at the moment. Mm. You know, it kind of goes in waves. And I know at Olympic Park in Mildura, there's only one junior at the moment, and you know, which hasn't been like that for a long time. So, you know, it's kind of sad to see, but I think it will just grow again soon. And, you know, there'll be a new generation coming. And, you know, it's hard because, you know, there's kids that race junior speedway that don't keep going to 500. So, you know, if there's five kids racing, there might be only one or two that, you know, continue on.
Yeah, that kind of progression. And I mean, I'm not a speedway dad, but kind of you need deep pockets to continue, or is it all set up for you?
Well, not necessarily, because, you know, all throughout my junior career, my parents didn't have deep pockets, and I was very grateful. I had good help by many people, sponsors, yeah, friends and whatever. And you know, I think parents, you know, to do speedway, you got to do a lot of traveling. You know, there's a lot of weekends away, a lot of traveling of a night, you know, to be able to race against other kids, they need to travel to be competitive. And you know, I think it's also, you know, the generations have changed. Kids are sitting at home now playing PlayStation, Fortnite and stuff like that. And, you know, and speedway is a very specific sport, you know. I feel like you can't go to a school and say, all right, you come ride speedway. No one know what speedway is. I feel like you need to be involved somewhat in speedway, know of it, for people to start racing. So it's hard. It's not just like motocross. You can't just go buy a new KTM 50 or 65 from the shop and off you go, kind of thing. So it's difficult, but you know, I think it's only growing. Like, event we've got here today is fantastic. You know, to just try and grow the sport. Like you look at the, I know everyone goes to the F1 Drive to Survive, but you look how big F1 is now, and imagine the viewers they get just since having that show. You know, there'd been countries that people wouldn't be interested, but it's on Netflix. Netflix is all the way, all around the world, and, you know, it pops up. So it'd be good if there could be some kind of series like that gets onto some, you know, platform, Amazon Prime or, you know, something like that. Go for the full year, follow some riders around, Grand Prix, league stuff, you know, follow them for a week, because it's a pretty hectic schedule, speedway, you know. Monday here, Tuesday Sweden, you know, might have a day off Wednesday, Thursday back here, Grand Prix on the weekend, Poland on the weekend. Like, it's pretty hectic, and a lot of travelling, and, you know, the season's just so hectic for, you know, 7 months of the year. So it'd be good for, you know, people to see outside the sport, you know. And but, you know, as I said, here is what they're doing now, I think, is really good for the future.
Yeah, and kind of in a way, what I think that kind of there's summarized like a Jamie Lindsay just outside of the day here, because there's a Jamie Lindsay who I'm summarizing, who is traveling each day, who's looking at the next thing, who has his own personal life, who pretty much, you know, comes to a speedway match, and then that's only a part of it as such.
Yeah, that's right. We've all got our own lives outside speedway, although, you know, speedway is a massive part of our life, and especially for the 7 months. But, you know, I've got two young boys that I try and spend a lot of time with, but, you know, I'm away a lot as well. And, you know, I'm lucky I've got a beautiful fiance that, you know, holds the fort back home and lets me go and chase my dreams. But, yeah, you know, like, it's not just all about speedway. That's all, you know, you got to live life as well.
Exactly. And sort of, you know, appreciate family life can be really, really, really hectic, having a family of my own as well. You know, what does Jamin do when he gets that 5 minutes to himself? And
like, as much as my fiance doesn't like it, I still like to spend a lot of time in the workshop tinkering around. And although I've got mechanics here, there, and I still like to spend time and you know, make sure things are right. But I like to, you know, be involved. And but when I'm here, me and a few boys kind of, we go mountain biking a fair bit. Yeah. We like that. We don't post too much because, you know, we can't let too many people know. But, you know, they get a bit upset. But, you know, we do a fair bit of that. And, you know, and because when the season's on, you just, you know, as weird as it sounds, when you do sit down, it feels weird, and you know, you get more tired. You just got to keep on that roll and just keep going and worry about a holiday at the end of the season in October, November.
Yeah, just keep going. Well, Jamie, thank you so much for chatting to us. Been a pleasure.
No worries. Thank you.
Bye.
And another successful episode of Mike Meets in the Books with Jamin Lidsey. So before we go then, let's just round up by looking ahead to the next week in British Speedway. Wednesday, April 17th, Oxford Cheetahs versus the Plymouth Gladiators in the BSN Series Southern Group. Thursday, it's Ipswich Witches versus the Oxford Spires, Sheffield Tigers versus the Kingsland Stars, and Leicester Lions versus the Bellevue Aces, all in the Row Motor Oil Premiership and all starting at 7:30. On Friday, April 19th, Redcar Bears versus the Scunthorpe Scorpions in the BSN Series Northern Group, and in the Scottish Group, it's Glasgow Tigers versus the Berwick Bandits. We've also got some National Development League action as well, actually, on Friday, April 19th. Edinburgh Academy are taking on the Oxford Chargers. That's at Armadale on Friday night. Saturday, Workington Comets versus Redcar Bears in the Northern Group of the BSN Series. Also on Saturday, Plymouth are going to start riding quite a few matches on Saturdays this season. So Plymouth Gladiators versus the Scunthorpe Scorpions. Cab Direct Knockout Cup first round, second leg. And then Sunday, April 21st, National Development League, Leicester Lion Cubs versus the Middlesbrough Tigers. A brand new team to the National Development League in their first action away at Leicester. Be a tough one, that. See how they get on, though. And also on Sunday, it's Oxford Chargers versus the Edinburgh Academy in the return leg of that fixture, which also has the first leg on the Friday. So both of those start at 3 o'clock on Sunday. On Monday, Row Motor Oil Premiership, Bellevue Aces versus the Ipswich Witches, Kingsland Stars versus the Sheffield Tigers. And that's it until next Wednesday, when Poole will be back in action next Wednesday as they get ready to take on the Edinburgh Monarchs. But more about that in next week's episode, I suspect. On your telly, you can watch on BSN Thursday night, Ipswich Witches up against the Oxford Spires in the Row Motor Oil Premiership and in the BSN Series. We've got Glasgow versus Berwick as well. So two fixtures there. And keep your eyes peeled for another one to be added, TBC. So a bit of action coming your way. That's it for this week's episode of No Breaks, No Fear. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with you next week for more reaction and also previews and another top guest joining us as well on British Speedway's official podcast.
No Breaks, No Fear. The official British Speedway podcast.
Sports Social Podcast Network.